Robbie Andrew of the Gainesville Sun. Robbie, how are you tonight?
Good, Hacker. How are you?
Robbie, we are good, and boy, we haven't talked to you in a little over a month, so certainly a lot of ground to cover, but my goodness, the last 24 hours or so, I know you were in the press conference yesterday where Jim McElwain just dropped a bombshell, Robbie, about death threats to him, death threats to, you know, his family. I mean, goodness gracious, what was kind of the tone in there when those words were being spoken yesterday?
Yeah, well, Hacker, he kind of dropped that out of nowhere. Nobody was expecting it. We had been asking him a question about, you know, whether the coaches deserve credit for holding things together with all that's gone wrong, and he volunteered this information, and he wasn't real specific when we pressed him. He didn't say it was his family or him. He just said players and families. So he wasn't real specific. Then he met with U.S. officials later and wouldn't give them anything more. So it was just, it came out of nowhere completely, and you wonder about the timing of it, the, you know, Monday before a big game against Georgia.
You know, Robbie, it's interesting because there's a lot of people, a lot of media members in this state that, quite frankly, are calling McElwain out today, saying, you know, what are you talking about? The university released that statement that was very weird, the wording of it at the end, saying that Coach McElwain provided no further details to us. I mean, you've covered Florida for a long time. Is this one of the more bizarre situations you've seen?
It is, Hacker. And usually if, you know, somebody comes out and says there have been death threats, you go, oh, my God, that's awful that fans could be that way. But then when the UAA came out of that statement, it sounded like they weren't really standing up behind McElwain in a way, you know, and that makes people start questioning, you know, did it really happen or not? Is he going to show us physical proof that it happened? So, you know, right now it's kind of up in the air, and there's a lot of negative people out there thinking that, you know, maybe there's some other reason for him doing this at the time he did.
Well, I've been, you know, wrecking my brain about why you would say that. And look, I have no idea, so I'm just guessing here. Let's say that, you know, could it be an issue where get sympathy on his side a little bit? I mean, certainly Gator Nation is up in arms about what's going on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, I'm just throwing stuff against a wall, Robbie. I was just so taken aback by those comments.
Yeah, I think some people are maybe looking at it that way. And the thing with me and him, though, when you look at him and you go over his body of work over the years, he's never been one to, you know, kind of make excuses for anything. And, you know, all these players suspended, all the injuries, and he told us again on Monday, he goes, those aren't excuses. You got to get the players you've got ready and get them to play. You've got to go out and try to win the game. That doesn't change. So he's never really offered excuses. I don't know if he's looking for sympathy or not, but that, you know, that doesn't hit me real square right now.
Robbie Andrew of the Gainesville Sun here with us on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM. Robbie, a bye week last week, obviously two heartbreaking losses at home by 1 point to LSU, by 2 points to Texas A&M. You were at both games. Boy, just really bad fourth quarters cost the Gators in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Hacker, they were in a position to win both those games. A&M, they're up 17-10 going to the fourth quarter. Then they do nothing in the quarter. The offense can't do anything. The defense can't get off the field. They completely bomb the fourth quarter and lose the game, getting outscored 9-0 there. And then, you know, last week they're in a position again to win the game. And in the fourth quarter, they had three drives, and I think the total yardage was maybe 19 or 20 yards and maybe one first down. So, you know, they've got to learn to finish. And I think depth is becoming an issue a little bit here in the late in games with the defense, because they play good for three quarters and all of a sudden they can't stop anybody.
You know, Robbie, I'm sure you get this via your email and on Twitter. I get the same thing over here in Jacksonville. When McElwain took the job, it was thought that he was going to be the offensive guru. You bring in Nussmeier, you know, developing quarterbacks is what they were known for. McElwain made that infamous comment about, you know, how his dog could play quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm sure he regrets that one right now, because in 3 years on the job, they have nothing resembling a average college football quarterback. When you look at what they're playing on Saturday in Georgia, they have not one but two quarterbacks right now in Fromm and Eason that would start in Gainesville tomorrow if they were there.
Yeah. Well, you know, Hacker, it all goes back to Will Grier. I mean, if he doesn't test positive for performance-enhancing drugs and ends up leaving school, where would the offense be now? Because he's obviously the real deal, and they thought he was at the time, and he was quickly developing as a redshirt freshman here, and that kind of changed everything. It set them back. They would have had their quarterback, their guy right now, and the offense would probably be really good if Grier had stayed, but that didn't happen, and now they've made some maybe poor choices in recruiting, and now you've got to find the right guy, and, you know, people are losing patience, so that's the problem.
Is it fair, Robbie, that the fan base is losing patience? Again, I always bring this up, 16-5 Jim McElwain is in 21 SEC regular season contests, but two losses in blowout fashion to Michigan, two losses in blowout fashion to Alabama, same thing about Florida State. I don't know if 16-5 really tells the whole story.
Well, no, the problem, Hacker, and you know it, and you hear callers call and complain all the time, it's about the offense. There's been no movement forward since Greer left. I mean, they've gone, if anything, maybe a little bit backward at this point. And, you know, they're really no fun to watch right now, and especially when you lose a couple of receivers to injuries like they did last week. So, you know, it's just a tough deal right now, and they can't get the offense going because they don't have, you know, enough skill players, and the quarterback isn't seeing the whole field and delivering the ball.
Robbie Andrew of the Gainesville Sun here with us on 1010XL. Robbie, Will Muschamp, even when he was losing, was still recruiting very well, just like Jim McElwain is. But it's when Dalvin Cook decided to decommit from Florida and go to Florida State. It's when Lamar Jackson decided not to come to Florida and to go to Louisville, because the way the offense was going in Gainesville, that I think Muschamp really got in trouble. Now, McElwain still has a great class with Corral and Jamar Chase, Jacob Copeland. All these guys are still committed. My concern, it's going to be a reenactment of Muschamp. These highly offensive recruited guys are going to say, wait a minute, what are they doing in Gainesville? And I'm just waiting for a Twitter to blow up and say one of these guys is decommitting and going somewhere else.
Well, yeah, Hacker, this is what happens when a fan base starts to turn on you and becomes real critical, and all of a sudden people are speculating that McElwain's going to be on the hot seat and he ain't going to survive the year, and if he makes it through this year, he'll be gone next year. So those are the kind of things that kind of wreck recruiting. And you know, right now, McElwain came off a really good week, open week with recruiting, and they feel great about where the class is. I think they're going to get a huge class in on the early signing period in December, and that would include Corral, which would be huge because I think he can compete for the starting job in the spring. But all the negative stuff coming from the fans and the media, that's the kind of thing that turns recruits off, and you know, that's the thing you can't avoid right now because of the way things are going on the field.
Robbie, you're as close to that program as anybody. You've covered them for years. Is McElwain 100% going to be the coach there next year?
I think so. I mean, unless something drastic happens. I mean, you know, he took them to back-to-back division titles. He gets a pass this year. The player suspensions, even though he doesn't say anything about it, it was a devastating blow right before the start of the season. Then you get all these injuries. And the fact that they have actually competed and been in these games and had a chance to win them, I think is encouraging. I think the players see that, and I think they truly believe in their coaches and still trust them. So, as long as the players are playing hard and competing and have a chance to win, I think you know he's going to hold it together. But you know, if they lose big on Saturday, then lose at Missouri, then things could fall apart in a hurry.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting, Robbie, and I was talking to Lee McGriff last week of the Gator Sports IMG Network, and he brought up an interesting point as well. It's going to be tough for Florida to go to a bowl game. I mean, the bottom line is they're big underdogs against Georgia. They're going to be underdogs going to Columbia to play South Carolina. Florida State's down, but Florida is just as down. Florida's got to find three wins in the next five, and when you start looking at it, it might be tough.
Yeah, and Hacker, even Missouri's going to be tough. I mean, they at least, I know they're bad on defense, but I don't know if Florida has enough offense to make a bad defense look bad, but yeah, Missouri's going to have a chance to score a bunch of points on too. So, yeah, it's going to be hard to get bowl eligible. If they do get bowl eligible, I think it's a good year for him considering all that's happened.
Final moments here with Robbie Andrew of the Gainesville Sun. Robbie, Kirby Smart was on the Georgia team in 1995 in Athens, where Spurrier decided to do the flea flicker and go for 50. So I don't know if it's revenge 22 years later. But I got a suspicion, and I haven't had the suspicion. I'm usually the guy that thinks Florida has a shot in all these games. I think it might be payback time. I think Georgia might put a number on Florida on Saturday.
They might, Hacker. I mean, you never know. There have been really strange things happen this game. And you know, I think Florida has a chance if they hang in there and play well, like through the first three quarters like they did the last two games, and you know, find a way to finish. They could be right there if they can get a couple of turnovers, which has been a real problem with this defense. They're not getting teams to turn the ball over. But, you know, if the offense can make a few first downs, stay on the field, and keep the defense rested, who knows, they may have a chance. Georgia's strength is running the football, and Florida's defensive strength is stopping the run. So, you know, I think, you know, this game is weird. They could hang in there. You never know what's going to happen. But, you know, I kind of lean toward the way you're feeling, Hacker. I think this may be one where Georgia's going to relax, have fun, and get a big win up there.
Hey, Robbie, anything new with the suspended guys?
No, in fact, I've talked to the state attorney's office. It's going to be another couple of weeks, probably. before anything drops. But apparently things are moving along, but they're not ready to come up and decide whether to formally charge or what they're going to do with them. But I have a feeling that most of the guys will first-time offenders, it's going to be a felony charge will be dropped, and they'll be looking at a misdemeanor-type thing with maybe a fine, a court cost, probation. But, you know, that all has to play out, and it's all speculation right now on my part. But it's going to take a little bit while, so their season's basically over.
I think we all have a pretty good idea that Antonio Callaway won't play another game in a Gator uniform. Robbie, what about Jordan Scarlett? He could come back next year.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on him?
Well, I don't know. I think they've all stayed in school, so I think that's a really good sign. I think if they get things ironed out, I think that, you know, some of them have tweeted that they're gonna be around, they're gonna stick around. So I think Scarlett has a chance to come back. I mean, where is he gonna go, really?
Robbie Andrew of the Gainesville Sun. Robbie, what's coming up in the paper leading up to game day?
Well, I'm doing a story of a 92 game, Hacker. That was a game where Georgia was a heavy favorite in the top 10, and Florida was struggling that year. They'd already lost two conference games, and Spurrier calls it his best win in the against Georgia. So talked to him and Shane Matthews about it. It was a really memorable night. It led to Florida playing in that first SEC title game.
You can check out that story with Robbie Andrew this week in the Gainesville Sun. Robbie, safe travels up here to Jacksonville, buddy. We'll see you on Saturday.
Thanks, Hacker. See you then.